Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again. Time for the elephant in the room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, and I am excited to join you today because we have a great show coming up with you here, the last show before the Thanksgiving holiday. Now, folks, as usual, I'm joined in my studio by Daryl Grandy, our producer, the man who makes all the magic happen, the guy that gets our words out to you.
Good afternoon, Sam.
Hey, Daryl, thanks for being here, my friend. Daryl,
yeah,
we're missing one of the three musketeers here.
We are missing him again for a different reason than we missed him last week.
Yes, yes. And that's John Schneider, our trusty executive director. John is out east visiting his family, taking a much needed break. You know, folks, you hear when I talk about the show, and sometimes I kid and I talk about John being a man of few words and everything like that. But I can tell you, the guy is an incredibly, incredibly hard worker. The money I pay him doesn't begin to get anywhere near what his true worth is. And, you know, I wish him and his family the very best. Happy Thanksgiving to them. And, you know, he absolutely deserves a much-needed break.
I got to think this is a season for that, especially in the political realm. I mean, we just got done with the campaign season across the board from the top all the way down. There have to be a lot of people in that situation right now. We're in this Thanksgiving period. Of course, the holidays are coming up next month. And there has to be that sort of, I got to think, just that period of just a wind down, just a come down from the entire year, because you have people who just got done with an election, win or lose. You had people who, you know, went through the primary to get there, win or lose. And I got to think that this whole period right now we're in, with Thanksgiving being this week, it is really a reflection of just what a year it's been, because it has to be a year in the grand scheme of things that isn't like any year that most of these people ever experienced before.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, this is also the time of year when the candidates,
sure,
who've been running for, you know, the last 12 months, many 15 months or some even longer, okay, they get a chance to take a break, whether they won or lost.
Right.
And spend a little bit of time with their family to be able to get away, recharge their battery. So it is the season, you know. But folks, we're going to talk about a lot of things today because I have a real treat. And all of you folks out there who care about our elections and who wonder, you know, we just went through here on Thursday night. You know, Bob Casey finally conceded to Dave McCormick, who defeated Casey back on Election Day for the U.S. Senate seat here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But on Thursday evening, Casey called Dave and then conceded. And then on Friday, Pennsylvania announced that they were stopping the recount, okay? But many folks have questioned, well, what is going on? How does this work? You know, why is it taking so long to count votes and things like that? So when I talk about a treat, I'm also joined in studio by a very good friend, you know, and someone that I trust implicitly and who has worked on our behalf down at the warehouse. And that would be Paul Tuohy. Paul is the partner and founder of Targeted Strategic Solutions. This company here, they're headquartered. They do business in both Pittsburgh and Harrisburg. And, you know, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sam. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you being here. And, you know, Paul, you and I, we understand it. I mean, my being on the Board of Elections for the last 9 years, you having been in this business for 30 plus years, I mean, you get it. But I think many of our listeners don't. And I think what they'll find fascinating is we talk a little bit today about the whole process and what takes place.
It's sort of the sausage and the stuffing, I guess, that everybody knows what, the stuffing and the sausage. I said it backwards, but you know, you don't know how it gets in there, but you know it at the end, and you just don't know how it's made. But when you get to Election Day, obviously everybody knows, because they've just lived through the television ads, the mail, in this day and age, the text messages, and whether you're voting on Election Day in person or you're voting with a mail-in ballot, that's kind of the interaction that the average person has with the election. You know, seeing the commercials, seeing the ads, and then actually voting. But once those votes are cast, there is an incredible process that takes place to get them counted. And that involves thousands of people around the state, county workers, state workers, and here in Allegheny County, as you know, a couple hundred workers who, from Election Day morning, starting at 7 a.m., we'll start opening those incredible amount of mail-in ballots. But before you get to Election Day, and before you get to the opening of mail-in ballots, and before the polling places open, you have months of preparation by county staffs. And here in Allegheny County, I just had this conversation with one of your attorneys down at the warehouse yesterday. You know, what happens now that the election is over? It's a time of rest for a lot of these people who've worked for 60 straight days. But it's also, they're going to get ready for the 2025 primary. Voter registration is open. People are registering to vote. People are changing registration. New voters are coming onto the rolls. But they got to make sure that the polling places are still available. Polling places change. They're not written in stone. Sometimes a location closes down or burns down, or a school can no longer host, or a church can no longer host the polling place. And so you have staff who have to find a place for the poll to be. Has to be in a certain area, right? It's got to be in the, ideally, it's got to be in the precinct that it represents, or it's going to be in a school somewhere where you might have four or five precincts that kind of converge. But there's an incredible amount of work that goes into the physical action of Election Day. And then you get to the counting of the votes, the pre-canvas, the opening of the mail, the scanning, literally the flattening of the paper so that it goes through the scanner. And then they're tabulated at the end of the day. And we're still not done. As we just went through, right, a week and a half of reviewing provisional ballots, making sure that the number of votes cast on Election Day in every precinct matches the final number before you as a member of the Board of Elections votes for certification. Mm-hmm. And then in that process of the review, people who are made to vote provisionally, and there's a whole process there you might mm-hmm. want to talk about, but a review of those ballots to make sure that every vote cast is an appropriate vote. I don't mean who they vote for, but that the individual is a properly registered voter who meets the qualifications to vote, is voting in the proper place, the proper county, the proper precinct. And then you get through that provisional period, and we're still going, right? We're still challenging.
Well, let's take a step back here and go right back to the beginning as you talked about. Like you talked about, and folks, you know, many folks are familiar that the Board of Elections gets together and they meet a couple times before each election where we talk, and the Elections Division will brief us on their plans or their preparations
right.
for that particular election. And prior to each election, they send to the parties. So I get them as the chairman of the Republican Party. They send me a letter where I can have an authorized observer to come down to the warehouse to right. look at two things. One, you can see the logic and accuracy testing where they run ballots through the mail-in ballot scanners to make sure that they're working properly, that they're tabulating correctly mm-hmm. and all of those things.
Right.
And then also so that's open to the public. The public can see that. But the letter of authorization allows our folks to be able to watch them and work with them as they set up
right.
all the different scanners, the machines that are going to go out to the precincts, all 1,327 yep. precincts we have.
It allows a level of comfort, I think. Right, mm-hmm. that we're the Republican Party, we're the minority party here in Allegheny County. And so all we ever ask for is a fighting chance. We'll take care of the rest.
Right, so it's very right? the process is very open,
yep.
very transparent.
Right,
you get to see that our machines are not connected to the internet.
Right,
and they do not have modems.
They did not.
You in them a whole bit. They're not connected to each other. But you get to see the whole process as workers go from machine to machine to machine. You're testing to make sure that they're reading the ballots properly, that they're tabulating them correctly, and all of that taking place.
And then they zero them out,
yep.
and you get a zero report that shows that there are no votes on this machine.
Right.
Nothing left over from the test.
Right,
and
no.
those scanners that are used in the warehouse, those high-speed, the 950s that are very loud and very fast and read 2,000 ballots in a minute, something like that.
It's like 350 ballots, I think, a minute.
A minute.
You know what I mean?
And it's just very, very loud. But there are zero reports in each of them. So you know that when that very first ballot from the mail pile has been scanned, you know that that's the first one on that machine.
Exactly. Now, folks, that's the preparation that goes in to setting the machines up.
Right.
Okay. For folks who vote absentee or vote by mail, you want to know, well, how does this process work? So what happens is after you've submitted your application, and if you do so and you give them your email address, you'll receive an email that tells you that your application has been received, it's pending, they're approving it.
Yep.
Once it's approved, they let you know via email that it's been approved and you're going to get your ballot by mail. And then once you've returned it, you get an email letting you know that they've been received. Now, all of these things take place. What generates the email to you is when the ballots come back into the warehouse. They are manually scanned.
That's right.
That barcode on them.
Each one is scanned.
Which tells the SOAR system, which is the state's, they call it SOAR system, it's the state uniform Registry of Electors. Okay, so that tells the system, and that's what generates the email. Now, I've had folks ask and say, wait a minute, I got my application that my ballot was being, they were mailing it, but it's 6 or 7 days later and I haven't gotten it. Well, what happens is in Allegheny County, as in many of the large counties, we use mail, print mail fulfillment centers right. to do this work. They're contractors. So when your email is generated, that's when we send your label to the printer, telling the printer to mail it out to you. That doesn't mean it got dropped into the mail that day. It just means it was approved for mailing. And that's why there's a couple day lag sometimes.
And don't forget that there's a date certain when mail-in ballots can start being sent to the voter.
Right.
So you might apply for a mail-in ballot at the end of July or August or early September, but the earliest that they can go out is a date in September, right, 45 days or so before the election day. Most counties aren't quite ready to send them out. And so they hold those applications and they prepare them for when they are ready to start sending the ballots. And then just like you said, you'll get the email saying that it's been processed, you should have your ballot shortly. That information goes to the vendor. The vendor gets it out, you know, within a day or so. So there's like a day or two delay until it's right. sort of in the mail stream. But that's the whole purpose of the email.
Right.
Right. So that if you get an email that says, we got your application, you should be getting your ballot shortly. And if 10 days go by and you don't have the ballot, okay, well, you know that it should have been mailed to you.
Yes.
And we just had a problem up in Erie in this mm-hmm. election where tens of thousands of mail-in ballots, the county thought were going out because their vendor made a mistake. And the vendor was notifying the county, as I understand it correctly, that, hey, we're sending this stuff out. And then they kind of found out that these haven't gone out. Mm-hmm. So Erie had to take an incredible step to FedEx ballots to people.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder how much that's going to cost.
Their FedEx fee is something else. I was told it's very high.
Yeah.
But here, and in every county, and I'm not trying to beat up on Erie, but, you know, they get out pretty quick typically.
Yeah.
And once you get into October, right, and once they have that first dump, you know, that first dump is huge. So in Allegheny County, it's possible that when they send out that first grouping of mail-in ballots in a year like this, you're probably looking at 100,000 ballots going out, right?
Minimum. Right? Yeah, minimum in the initial dump.
Right.
Right.
And then they have those first two or three that are just so big. And then it gets into a flow.
Yes.
Where they receive a ballot on a Monday, and chances are that they receive an application on a Monday. Chances are that ballot is in the mail to you by Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hopefully you have it by the end of the week.
So, folks, what happens is when you see your ballot and it comes and there's a barcode there, mm-hmm. that barcode's generated. That tells them who you are. When you open your mail-in or absentee ballot and it says sign and date the outer envelope of the return package, that barcode is there again.
Right.
That barcode tells them who Paul Tuohy or who Sam DeMarco is. So when that comes in and they scan it, that tells the system that I have voted, that my application has been received,
exactly.
and that I voted. Now
that's important because, and this is exactly mm-hmm. the process we just completed, and this happens every election, primary and general, where somebody shows up on election day to vote in person because they're afraid that their ballot wasn't received in the mail. And maybe they didn't put their email in on mm-hmm. so they did not receive
or
the email.
Or there was a typo, you know what I mean?
There's a typo and they just didn't get that email and they're nervous. And so they show up to vote on election day and they'll be told to vote provisional because at the polling place in that book, it's noted that this voter had a mail-in ballot. And so the judge of election doesn't know if it right. was received, but they'll give you a provisional ballot. You'll vote the ballot. You fill out the information on the back of the envelope for the ballot. There's a whole process that you go through. And then that barcode becomes important because when we sit down, when the campaigns and the parties have the opportunity to monitor the opening of the provisional ballots, county employees, the staff of the elections division, of the elections office, will go through and say, oh, Sam DeMarco voted by provision. But he did vote by mail. We did receive his mail. And therefore, they make sure that your provisional ballot from Election Day is never opened.
Right. Now, you're jumping ahead, Paul, because you're the smart guy.
I'm all over the place.
A little bit, right? What I want to do is explain to the folks here. So when you complete, when you get your mail-in or absentee ballot, you open the package, you extract it, and you actually take and make your selection. You fill in the circles or the ovals.
It's an oval to be filled in, not for a check mark or an right. X. Don't circle the name of the voter. These are all things that will prevent your ballot from being read.
Right.
And so your vote doesn't count yet. It gets set aside.
Directions are important, folks. They read are. The directions, okay? So you fill in the oval, right? Then you take and you take your ballot, you fold it up, you place it in the secrecy envelope.
Right.
Now, over the last 5 years, as we're learning this process, we've tried to get, and they've tried to make this as easy for folks to understand and work with. So your, and when we talk about this, your secrecy envelope is the one that was like black and yellow slashed and checked on the whole bit, you know? So you put your ballot in the secrecy envelope, you seal that. Then you take your ballot, you with the secrecy envelope, you place it in the outer envelope, you seal that, and then you sign and date it.
Date it.
Date it with the date that you signed it. Okay.
It's not your birth date.
Not your birth date.
Right. It's not your wedding anniversary. It is the date that you are signing, that you are putting it, in essence, putting in the mail. But it's the date that you complete the ballot and you've just signed that affidavit. That's an affidavit on the back of the envelope. And you're saying, yes, I'm eligible to vote. Yes, this is my vote. Yes, this is my ballot. And yes, I am certifying that I'm eligible to vote. And you sign it and you date it just like you would any other legal document.
And the state is trying to make it as easy for people as possible, like in the date. They have like the 2-2 and the 0.
Yes.
For the first two letters of the year in there, right? And so anyway, they ask you to do that. Now, when you mail it in, when it comes into the warehouse, when the Postal Service drops that mail off the warehouse, they then take and they run it through a big machine called a Blue Crest machine. Blue Crest used to be Pitney Bowes, but it's a $750,000 plus machine.
It's an awesome piece of machinery.
It gets run through. It automatically timestamps it to let everyone know when it came through. Then after it comes out of there, then we scan it. Then it is put in a room. And I call it a room, folks, but it really is an open air wired cage that's under video surveillance. There are 91 cameras at the warehouse, two completely separate video surveillance systems. So this is in a wired cage on these, what would you call them? Like dollies? What are these? You know, the
they're movable shelves.
Yeah, movable shelves.
They're,
right.
They're big red shelving units that have wheels in the bottom, so it allows them to move them to and from the Blue Crest when it's time to open them. It allows them to move. So that way, you're not moving one bin. You're moving. I think there's like 19 bins on there.
Right. So they're sitting there like in what look like trays, folks.
Right.
You know, like postal trays, and the ballots are all lined up according to when they came in. Okay. So these things are kept there, you know, unless they need to go through. For example, sometimes right before the election, the weekend before the election, we had them go through and they removed all the people that had been reported by the state to have passed away or been deceased that might have cast a ballot. So we had a number of those removed. So they run through the Blue Crest machine.
Right through the machine.
And it will identify and find them there, right? But then they're put back in the room. And again, everything's under video surveillance. You know, there are tapes. This stuff could be looked at if we thought there was something going on until election day. And then at 7 a.m. on election day, in front of all the observers. So here's something else we should explain, Paul, is having a poll watcher certificate does not qualify you
right.
to go to the warehouse.
If you're a poll watcher, that allows you to get into a polling place. And you can become a poll watcher for a party or for a candidate. And that allows you just to be inside and to observe what's happening. Again, this is one of the provisions in election law that is kind of meant to give everybody an assurance of the validity of what's happening that day. And so with that poll watcher cert, you can get into the polling place. But in order to get into the warehouse on election day, it's different. And this all really changed in 2020 with the introduction of the no excuse mail-in ballot, where you are a formal observer of a party or a candidate that's on the ballot. And so in a year like this year, everybody running for the state house and the state senate could have one. People running for president of the United States could have one. Senate.
Well, let's to be fair, you can actually have more than one, but only one at a time.
Only one at a time
can be president. So folks, because election day is so long, and sometimes things could even run further because, you know, with the state, when the Allegheny County accepts grants from the state, which we did this year, it was over $4 million. Yep. When we accept the grant from the state, we commit that once we start counting mail-in or absentee ballots, that we will not stop. So there'll be no more what happened in 2020, where the first time you're trying this out, folks don't know the process, you know, at 2:30 in the morning, you know, they sent the folks home because they'd been there
right
since before 7 a.m.
And we were all there till 2:30. The observers, and I know you had stopped down at one point in the evening.
I've been in and out, yes. And, but we had 25 lawyers.
Right. We had lawyers.
You know, down there from the Trump campaign, yeah, and everybody else.
And everyone, every candidate had their person in there.
Right.
And they're rotating their people through. And at 2:30 in the morning, it's just, okay, we can't, people are falling over. We got
to
go home.
We don't want folks to make errors and things like that.
Right.
So anyway, on election day, these shelves on wheels, they're rolled over to a machine, which is an envelope slice. It slices the envelope. It opens it. So they run these through the first machine, which slices that outer envelope. Folks then remove the secrecy envelope from that. Now, at this point, folks, your ballot and the secrecy envelope, there's no longer any way to identify who that came from, right? But this is all done in front of observers and everyone else.
And this is where, as you said earlier, following instructions is important, because you're clearly told, don't make a mark on the secrecy envelope. The secrecy envelopes used to be a solid color, white, yep, yellow, green.
And that's what made it confusing in the past, yes.
And sometimes people would put an X. Sometimes people would sign the secrecy envelope, and which basically means that you're not protecting your vote.
Right.
Because now we might know how you voted. And our whole system is based on the idea of one person, one vote, and your vote is your vote. It's a secret vote. It's a secret ballot. Now, thankfully, I like the envelopes they're using now, which are the different, they have, I think it actually said secrecy envelope on it.
Yes, I think so.
In black and yellow. And so it's a little harder for you to sign it. And if you do sign it or make a mark, it's even harder to see it.
Right.
But yeah, so it's important that when that secrecy envelope is removed from the freshly opened outer envelope, it has to be opened again.
So they open the envelopes, they take the secrecy envelopes out, they're on that shelving again, and they take that shelving to the next machine, which then opens up the secrecy envelope. And this whole process follows. So when they're moving these ballots to open the secrecy envelopes, they're opening additional ballots at the first machine.
Right.
But again, all of this is under observers' observation right out there in front of folks. So once they open the secrecy envelopes, then they take them to tables. Now, folks, envision long picnic tables laid end to end, with workers sitting on both sides. There are no trash cans there. There are no one's allowed to have bags, no coach, no nothing else. It's just them, because all this stuff had to be checked at the front when they came in. These folks, they extract the ballot from the secrecy envelope, and then they have to sit down, they unfold it, they flatten it, because it's going to have to get fed through the high-speed scanners, and then they pass them down to the end of the table to be picked up by a worker who will then take it and carry it over to the scanners. In many cases, sometimes it's only 20 feet away. In other cases, it can be a little bit further.
And the process there is very involved. So they're folding, they're unfolding the ballot, they're flattening the ballot, they're trying to get rid of the crease. They have little machines called joggers where they'll take a couple hundred ballots, put them in the jogger that removes static electricity. It kind of shakes them, it jogs them, mm-hmm, to remove static electricity, to get them all to be the same size, and it gets them to all kind of fit together so that when they take that next step of putting it through the scanner, that will actually count and record your vote and all the votes, and it does so quickly that they go through that scanner. And if you're putting 1,000 through, you want them to go through. You don't want to have to put the 1,000 through three times because of paper jams.
Exactly.
And so this entire process is really built around the idea of not having a paper jam at the most important part of it.
Yep. Now, the other thing, folks, is when your ballots come in, you may have seen that there's a hole in the outer envelope. Okay. What that does is that allows the workers to see if you have a secrecy envelope inside that. Because if you don't put your ballot in the secrecy envelope, your ballot will not be counted. So what happens is, our workers see this, they look at those outer envelopes. If you don't have, this is when they do the scanning, if you don't have a secrecy envelope there, or if you have not signed or dated your ballot, they are going to take and tell you that it's defective, but you give you the opportunity to cure. So our folks, the day it came in and they saw it, if they saw an error, they turned around and put it back in the mail to you and told you needed to fix it.
Right.
And you had up until election day to do that.
And actually, here's something that happened today. I don't know if you're this year. I don't know if you're aware of this, but some of the local committees I was working with were telling me that they were getting text messages. People were getting just blind text messages without photos or anything attached, saying that there was a problem with their mail-in ballot. Mm-hmm. Allegheny County doesn't do that.
Right.
They're not calling. They're not texting. They're putting your ballot in the mail to you. You're going to get it back in the mail in a bigger envelope
yep.
with a note saying, "Here's the problem. Here's what you have to do, and here's you got to get it back to us quickly."
Yep. And folks, you know, as we're going through this, you know, I hope that you're able to in some way visualize what we're describing. But this is only the beginning of the process. We got a lot more to talk to you about, and we'll be back after the break to do that. We're going to have to take a break now. We always got to pay the bills. But this is Sam DeMarco, the elephant in the room on WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM. Folks, welcome back to the elephant in the room. We were joined here in our first segment, and he's back by Paul Tuohy, our consultant who is the founder and partner of Targeted Strategic Solutions. And Paul, we were just talking about, I mean, we took and burned almost the first segment just talking about preparations for an election and how these ballots and stuff come in, right? So,
and we're only about halfway through the whole process.
Right. So when we broke, we were talking about how the folks, after the envelopes have been opened, you know, they take and they can be put through the ballots. Is they're passed down mm-hmm. to be picked up and run through scanners. And you talked about sometimes there's some of them are used in joggers. We talked about how if they're defective, they're sent out to be cured.
Right.
Okay, to give you that opportunity. Now, so they run them through the big scanners, and folks, none of these things are counted or tabulated until 8 p.m.
Right. The information is stored on basically a thumb drive mm-hmm. Or a memory stick in the machine, and they don't remove the stick until close to 8 o'clock. And the election code is pretty clear on it, that you scan and you tabulate, but you cannot – the machines are doing all the work, but you can't look at it and you can't reveal it publicly. So it doesn't matter what county you're in, but, you know, one campaign can't find out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or one party doesn't find out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that you're losing because
right.
of the where we are today or where we are right now with the mail-in ballot count. Everyone finds out at 8 o'clock. Now, Allegheny County, and I always am complimentary towards the staff there, but Allegheny County has really put together over the last 4 years a good process. And they've made changes to it, and they've made additions and subtractions, and they're pretty good. So that at 8:01 p.m. on election night, they have their first update. Allegheny County is the first in the state, typically.
Absolutely.
That reports election results. And it's always the mail-in ballots because they start this whole process at 7 a.m. and it goes on until they usually finish up mail-in ballots. This year, I think they were done around 3 p.m. where they were done.
Somewhere around there, yes.
They were done.
They had let the majority of the staff go home. Yep.
Right. They had done the scanning, the opening, the scanning, the flattening. Everything was done but the tabulation. And there's like this quiet period in the warehouse where it's almost eerie and it's boring because there's nothing to watch. But at 7:55, someone collects everything. They go into a secret back room where they connect those thumb drives to three computers, move the information over, it goes into their software package, and uploads it to the website.
But hey, you said a bad word there, Paul. You use the term secret.
Secrets, okay? Secrets. It's the only part, only part of the process I don't like, Sam.
You know, when we talk about secret, okay, folks, I had, you know, folks show up at the Board of Elections meeting, you know, complaining that it was a black hole that these things went into. Now, this is in a small room, so there's not enough room to allow all these observers. So we put cameras in the room.
There are cameras
in the
room.
So all the observers are able to see
yes.
from the time that person walks into the room what they do and how they take and upload this information.
And only three of the computers in there are actually connected to the tabulation software and then to the website. So it's not like you can just grab a computer or go in and upload your own data.
And it's important for folks to understand. So that data that you see on election night and that data that's being uploaded there, that is the unofficial results, okay? they're not certified, those don't become official until when all the machines come back. We take the second memory sticks out, and we run them through another duplicate system that's not connected to the internet, okay? And only when they then match,
we compare
and everything verified, do we then release them as being official results and ready for certification.
And those two sticks that you're talking about, so you have the memory stick in the warehouse and the scanning being done for the mail-in ballots, those little black trash can machines, they look like black trash cans that are the scanners, the systems that you put your, when you vote on election day, you fill in your oval, you feed it into the scanner. Those items, those machines have two sticks in them. They take the one stick out, as you're saying. That's the one stick that's uploaded on election night, and then they do the second stick. It's like NASA with all the backup and the redundancy, right? The space shuttles had triple redundant systems built into it. So if one computer went down, the next one came in. This is how we protect the vote. On election night in Dormont 5, Dave McCormick received 100 votes. I'm making this number up. I don't know what Dave got in Dormont 5. But on election night in Dormont 5, election day, he had 100 votes on the machines. And so they take that second stick out, and when they look at the second stick, it better say 100.
Right.
If it doesn't say 100, what do? We go and we get the paper ballots from Dormont 5, the ballots that people filled out, and they are brought into the office, and they are scanned again.
Yep.
And if necessary, they are counted by hand because if something happens. But to my knowledge, we have never had that occur. We've never had a discrepancy between stick number one and stick number two.
Right. And folks, why this stuff is important, okay? It's like I said, I've been doing this for 9 years, and I have been on the Board of Elections. I've lived through the 2020 election. And many of our folks who don't understand the process, who don't understand what goes on, who don't have no idea of the checks and balances, they see horror stories, that are put out there on social media by folks who, again, who have no idea.
Who have never been to the warehouse.
Or what's happening or whatever, or the operation we have in Allegheny County. And Paul, before we go back and continue to take folks through the whole process, I think it's important to know, to throw out a shout out and kudos to the Allegheny County election staff. These folks are extremely professional. They are very courteous. Even the attorneys, the Republican attorneys that come in for the recounts and everything else, remark and talk about how well they were treated, how well the operation is run, how clear and transparent everything is.
And it's very true. Dave Voy, the manager of the elections division, Al, the chief counsel for
Upsitnick, David Voy, Chet Harhut, Jessica Garfalo.
These are people who they come to work and they have a job to do, and it's not easy.
Nope.
Especially with the closer you get to Election Day, and they do a good job. Election Day operation is controlled chaos. It's always going to be chaotic when you have that many pieces of paper that need to be opened and counted. And I think they've put it together over 4 years, because we've only had mail-in ballots at this level for five years.
2020 year, yep.
So they've really put this together, and this is something you don't see everywhere. They learn, if they made mistakes in 2020, they fixed them, or they learn from them. And so the process that you just described, everything from how the ballot gets to you and how you get it back, is something that they've put together. And they're very hard workers. The employees there are very hard workers, and they don't want to be there any more than we want to be
right
there.
And folks, Paul talked about a lot of sheets of paper, okay? There were 724,924 ballots cast in this election. Think about that. Almost 750,000, ballots. And you're dealing with, we talk about election day, 487,402 ballots were cast out at the polls. The 1,327 precincts that we have out there, which are manned by 6,600 workers. So, Paul, to your point, controlled chaos, this is a big operation. And this is why sometimes, I get calls from folks, who are overlooking excellence in the demand for perfection. And you're dealing with all these people, stuff is going to happen.
You're going to find human mistakes along the way. Everything from a polling place that doesn't open at 7 a.m. because the judge of election overslept.
Yes.
Or a judge of election who just doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Right? And so what do you do? Well, the elections division has to take steps working with the county sheriff to send someone to the guy's house or the woman's house, get the poll box, go set up the polling place. It's not unheard of for a county employee to have to go help set up the polling place because a judge didn't show up.
Now, that's not forgiving or excusing that.
It's just, it's just explaining part of something that can go wrong.
Yeah, this is something that happened. You have 6,600 workers.
Right.
You know, we don't have someone in every one of their homes.
We have, and I don't know how many of them there are. You'll probably know this, or you may know this, but you have rovers on Election Day. County workers who drive to a number of polling places. Maybe they cover 30 or 40 polling places. Maybe they cover 100 to make sure.
The exact number. We may have like 85 or something. Sounds like
it. And they're there to make sure, hey, what's the problem? Let's get the polling place back up and running. Because Allegheny County's large.
These are the people that deliver extra ballots. They deliver pens. They deliver the, whatever it is.
Provisional ballot envelopes.
Need. Yes, yes.
Anything that they need help with. And another part of like the hidden operation that no one sees. But, think about what do you do if you have to get – if you have a problem at a polling place in Monroeville, you got to drive out there from downtown Pittsburgh or from the warehouse on Washington Avenue in Pittsburgh. Good luck. How long is that going to take you? And so they've come up with this idea of the rovers who are able to get around faster because, hey, we already have someone in your area. And so we can get out to North Versailles or to Monroeville. Or you got to go out to the Kiske Valley. Best of luck to you. But we already have somebody out there, so we don't have to run supplies out from downtown. It's very rare that has to occur. And then again, the pieces of paper, right? It's all paper ballots. I think people forget about that a lot because I see a lot of people complain that we don't have paper ballots. We don't have paper. It is all paper ballots.
Yep. So
we're using the computer to scan the ballot.
Mm-hmm. So folks. We're talking about these mail-in and absentee ballots here. So once they get scanned through the machines, as Paul said, we let a lot of the workers go home, wait till 8 p.m. to tabulate them. These results are the first results that get reported, on election night. So then what happens is you have all the folks that have been out there, the different precincts. At the end of the night, the judges of elections, together with their teams, are supposed to take and wrap up. They're supposed to submit their books and everything like that that identify the voters that came in, what their numbers were and things of that nature. They're supposed to gather up their provisional ballots. They're supposed to close the machines, put the tapes on the door or on the window from the machines. And then they're supposed to take these to a regional reporting center. We have like 7 of them. And so there they turn this stuff into county employees where those sticks are then taken out. They're read and those results are uploaded to the county system, which again, that's what you see are reflected on election night. And folks, what we saw here in the difference this year from 2020 was this. In 2020, we were not allowed to scan, I don't believe, that early. Or maybe we were, but I just know that
we were, but it took a lot longer because of the equipment.
We didn't have all the equipment yet, right?
Yeah, we did not have enough scanners. And I just think, looking back at it, that was just a miserable year for the parties, for the candidates, for people like me, people like you, and for the people who are working in all the polling places and at the warehouse. The scanners are faster today. You have more of them.
Well, right. We only had 8 scanners, I think, at that time.
Right.
And we also had like 360,000 ballots.
Yeah.
Now we have 10 scanners and only 228,000 mail-in ballots. So we were able to get through those.
It's helping us out. Yeah.
And so folks do that. And then what gets returned is returned a bag with the memory stick, with provisional ballots that were voted on at those polls. Now, here's what happens, folks. So we vote on you vote on election day, we report the results, but those results are the results of the mail-in ballot scan that day and the election day vote that was uploaded from the memory sticks. Now, every election, it seems, it's like some judges of elections can't remember to return their memory stick. we're talking about a dozen. I've seen as many as 30. But there's always a few.
It's always like the same 9.
Yeah, knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Right?
And they just, I don't know. It's so, this year, Dave Voy and I, to throw his name out again, we're laughing on election night because we're like, I bet we know which polling places they are.
Right.
And we knew 5 of them.
Yeah, there you go. So then what happens is, so all that's reported that night, okay? Now, what isn't there? Well, military and overseas ballots, because they're sent overseas typically, taking longer to get back, they have until 7 days after the election. So, you know, election day was November 5th. They had until November the 12th for those ballots to be returned.
Right.
So in addition, and we don't open those or don't scan those really. Sometimes you do a little bit, but usually you wait until the 12th
if they
to
are,
take and do those.
Typically, if they're in on election day, they'll open them. Mm-hmm. And most of those voters, by the way, can only vote for federal offices.
Right.
Some of the overseas civilians, you can only vote for president, U.S. Senate, and U.S. House. So sometimes those ballots have to be kind of fixed, recreated.
Right. And here's something else. I've gotten calls from people who say, wait a minute, they don't live here anymore. They live in Australia, or they live in France, or they live in Canada. Folks, as long as you're a U.S. citizen, you are entitled to vote in a federal election, and you vote from the last known address in the states.
And that that created a world of confusion and pain in 2020, because there are people who thought they had found hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the state who voted this way in the 2020 presidential election. And we went to people would drive out to the address, and then you know this happened.
Yep.
And there was no house there. And they would take a picture of an empty lot and say, look at what we found. But it's exactly what you just described. As long as you're a U.S. citizen, you have the right to vote. And it doesn't matter if you're living abroad for study, school, personal reasons, work, whatever it is. You're just a world traveler. You're a U.S. citizen. You have not lost your right to vote. You use your last home address. Now, that home, that building physically may not be there anymore.
Right.
And this sounds absolutely insane, but it's one of those how else do we do it problems.
Yeah, same thing with someone in the service.
Yes.
You know, you're in the service. You may deploy. You may have reenlisted. You intend to retire, right? So you may have been away from your home in Allegheny County for many, many years. It may not belong to your family anymore, but you have the ability to use that same address when voting, you know, from the military. So that explains a little bit about some of that. But so what happens is Tuesday's the election day. After election day, you are not allowed to look at provisionals or do anything else until we swear the return board in, which by law is not able to occur until Friday morning, you know, at 9 a.m., three days after the election. So folks will say, well, why aren't you counting provisionals now? Or why aren't you doing this? Because by law, you're not permitted to. And so what happens is 3 days after the election, 9 a.m., we swear the return board in, and that's when they start working on the provisional ballot. So let's take a step back. You talked about it briefly at the beginning in the first segment. But when you go in to vote, we are not allowed to turn anybody away from voting.
Right.
So, if someone comes in and they're not in the book as a registered voter, or if they're in the book as having applied for and received a mail-in ballot, we can't allow them to vote with an election day ballot. We have to give them a provisional.
Someone could walk up to a polling place on election day and they really want to vote. But if you're not registered, you're not able to vote.
Right.
If you're registered in a county outside of Allegheny County, you can only vote in the county where you're registered. To do so otherwise would be illegal, according to the Pennsylvania election code. But at the same time, they're not going to tell you, go away. So that's why we have the provisional. And so someone will be given that provisional ballot. Same candidates, right? There's no difference in what you're voting on or who the options are. But you're given the provisional ballot to vote. And maybe you are a legitimate voter. But when they printed out the poll book, maybe there was a mistake with the printing. Sometimes there's a supplemental poll book, right, that's printed. So they print the poll books, and then they print a supplemental.
We
and
print supplementals, which have all the mail-in voters or people that their registration may have been approved after the mail-in.
After they printed the first one. And so a lot of times the judge forgets or doesn't think to check the supplemental. Do we have a supplemental? Some polling places get two supplementals.
Yep.
And so sometimes they'll forget to look. And so they say, hey, you're not in the book, but here's a provisional ballot.
Right.
And then the next step right after election day is the research on those ballots.
No. So let me go back.
Oh, I skipped a part.
The next step, folks, is please, your vote is incredibly important and no one ever wants to disenfranchise you. So it's important that you follow directions.
Yes.
If you ever have to vote provisionally, you need to be aware that on that green envelope, there are two areas in which the voter needs to sign. I think it's number one and number four.
And you have to sign and date, but what you're signing, as was made abundantly clear in a hearing yesterday and in front of the election board on Monday that you were sitting on, was that you're signing an affidavit. You are certifying under penalty that you are who you say you are, that to the best of your knowledge, this is where you vote and that you believe you're a registered voter. And you're not here of ill will. And you're supposed to sign that in two places for a reason, because of what you're swearing to.
Yep.
And then you're supposed to do that. That's an oath. You're taking that oath. And that's right what we heard that this week. It's an oath that you're taking because it says that on the ballot.
And it's important also, folks, that not only do you have to sign it in two places, but the judge of elections and the minority inspector needs to sign it.
The election code clearly states that the voter is to sign that oath, take that oath in front of two witnesses, and those witnesses are supposed to be the judge and the minority inspector.
So you want to make sure that after you've signed it twice, that you give it to them and say, you need to sign this to make sure that that ballot comes in and that your vote can be counted. So now we can skip ahead to Friday when they start to research it. So you want to go with that, Paul?
So when the provisionals come back in, they're in these big green envelopes and they're organized by precinct. And so the county election staff spends a lot of time with each envelope getting through every single provisional ballot. And they research the ballot. Why did this person vote provisional? Why were they told to vote provisional? Should they have voted provisional? And then they get into the nitty gritty. They wrote a provisional because someone's name wasn't in the book. Well, their name should have been in the book because the research indicates that they are a legal registered voter. Therefore, this person should probably not have been asked to vote provisional. Therefore, we should open this ballot and we should count it. They go through that for every single ballot. And there are 12 reasons why someone could be asked to vote provisional. One of those reasons is, or why a ballot would or wouldn't vote, excuse me, why a ballot would or would not be opened. If it's incomplete, you have to fill out your name, your address, where you currently live, and then that affidavit that we talked about. And then it has to be signed by you, the voter, twice, and signed by the judge. If any of that's missing, it's considered incomplete. And so that's a reason that the county staff and the research will set it aside. If they look and they say, hey, this individual is not registered to vote, or we found this individual registered to vote in Westmoreland County. This year, we found an incredible amount of people who are registered to vote in Philadelphia, Bucks County, Lehigh County. They're probably here for school, probably college kids, but they're not registered to vote in Allegheny County, so they should have voted by mail back home in Lehigh, Philly, Monco, etc. And so that research is done. Say, so why did they vote provisional? Should they have voted provisional? Should the ballot be open and counted? That's that research step. That all comes back to the warehouse. That's all done in the warehouse. But it comes back to the front of the warehouse where the official representatives, the lawyers, and you don't have to be a lawyer to be an official representative, literally get to review each and every provisional ballot envelope. We don't review the ballots. We review the envelope. And we make sure that we agree with that determination. Yes, this person wasn't registered to vote, therefore they should not be able to cast a vote. This person is not registered here, they're registered in Westmoreland County, they should have voted in Westmoreland County. And so both parties agree or disagree. Both parties have the opportunity to say, I want this, you're saying you don't want it to count, we're saying it should count. Or you're saying you're going to count this voter, but we don't want it to count because we think there's a flaw here. And we have to articulate what that flaw might be, why we think this is an improper ballot. That does not indicate that we're saying someone broke a law. We're not saying that someone woke up election day morning and set out to break the law. What we're saying is that this ballot should not have been cast. And we're saying that this ballot should be set aside. And that's the nitty gritty and kind of the slow, very slow process. We had three tables set up this year. Each table had two Republicans and two Democrats at. And it's very funny, Sam, you and I talked about this. But the people who get along the best in the warehouse are the Republican and the Democrat watchers and operatives who are there.
Now, so folks, so you have election day on Tuesday. Then on that Friday, you swear the return board in. That's when they start to watch or start to research the provisional ballots to see what should or shouldn't be counted or to identify what should be set aside. Now,
That's
the Friday before the Tuesday after the election when the deadline for the military and overseas ballots come in. So this is just to start counting those. Now, Paul, go through and explain how, when we talk about these different tables set up and the observers there, how you guys challenge them on the basis of these things.
There's one county employee who presents us with the envelope and we review the envelope. Both parties review the envelope. There's a kind of a cover sheet for the whole precinct that indicates the name of the voter, what the problem was with the voter, if it should count or not. We get to look at it and say, hey, I would like this set aside. I don't think this should be counted because it is the voter didn't sign in either place. The judge of election didn't sign. The Democrats this year were looking at it and saying, we understand that this person's not registered to vote. We still think that should be counted.
Right.
And so we articulate that and we have to tell them why. We can't just say challenge, challenge, challenge. We have to tell you why we're challenging. And then notes are made on the envelope. Notes are made on a sheet. They're set aside for a hearing.
And at that hearing, that's where the Board of Elections gets together and makes a ruling on whether something should or should not be counted. Now,
right,
Paul, and we started talking about this, man. We have run out of time. We are going to have to do an election part two. But I think what folks should understand is this recent election, at least here in Allegheny County, was conducted fairly, accurately, with as much transparency as we could possibly have provided.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, I want to, you know, kudos to our election team and our staff, their staff. Paul, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us here on The Elephant in the Room.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Well, we're going to have you back. We got to do elections part two. And folks, I want to wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving, happy and joyful Thanksgiving. Spend time with your family, your loved ones. They're the ones that really count. You know, I've seen a lot of talk about, you know, families not getting together because of politics. Folks, you know, politics is just something that comes and goes and changes. Family is important. So please, you know, spend time with your loved ones, get some rest and relaxation. And until the next week on The Elephant in the Room, please have a great weekend.